Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of the Taking Notes podcast for Tuesday, April 4th, 2006. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here today with my trusty co-host.
Your good buddy, Julian Robichaud.
No, don't push it. I said trusty co-host.
Not, all right, not fine. Good buddy. I know where I stand. Yeah,
you sure. Haven't reached good buddy status yet.
All
so
right, I'll work
it's,
on it.
It's been what, maybe 3 weeks since we did our last podcast, episode 17, which was half Julian. Well, it was Bruce-less, but I hope you enjoyed the cow and the sheep, Julian, and you know, and the other stuff I added to your segment.
Well, it turns out that was actually an accurate representation of where I was at. I spent some of my vacation up at my mom's, and she's
your
got
mom's
a lot of
cow?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No,
a sheep.
You misunderstand. She's not a She's not an animal at all.
Oh,
she
okay.
has a lot of animals.
Oh.
She has a lot of cows and some goats and sheep and all sorts of stuff.
So. Right on.
Very appropriate.
So, Julian, you don't have anything to tell me, like you're going to go work at another company or anything, right?
I think I'm just about the only one.
No, I am still full, you know, employed by a large Japanese manufacturing company, so.
All right. Well, me and you then. We're sticking it out.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, it's great. What happened over the last week here?
Yeah, well, you know, just over the last, 6 months or so, we had Rocky Oliver, Bob Balaban, Matt Godera, you know, some people like that moving over to IBM. And then recently we have Brian Benz and Stephen Whistle.
Correct.
Moving to also working for IBM. Rich Schwartz is working for, HP now?
Right, he's working for HP on some Notes Domino-related product, I believe.
Yeah, and... and Steve Castledine.
Right, Domino
which
Blog.
Was, yeah, that was a big surprise. Well, I mean, they're all surprises to me, but then again, I don't keep in touch with people very well.
Well, Detective Vow had it figured out, right?
Well, that's what I read.
Yeah, I remember him pinging me.
Along.
He was pinging me the other a week or two ago, asking me all sorts of probing questions, and, you know, I had no idea. But we, you know, I think it's great. You know, you and I use Domino Blog for the podcast. You know, the podcast site, and it worked out really well. And I, on behalf of you and I wish Steve all the best, and we can't wait to see how IBM assimilates him as well as Domino Blog. So,
oh yeah, and I think one of the interesting parts of the whole story is the fact that not only are these people getting really hired on by big companies, but with the exception of Rich Schwartz, they're all going to IBM specifically.
Right. And there's Brian Benz too,
right?
Right,
and I that's just fantastic because you know that's obviously these are people that had confidence in IBM initially because they've been consulting for so long and they've been you know really that's been their living. But to say that gosh, not only do I like the product, but that company is a strong enough company to work for.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting too. I got pinged by a recruiter today. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times I get pinged by recruiters, but not for Notes and Domino jobs. And it just happens. I mean, it's on my blog today, April 4th, and it talks about how this particular recruiter has seen a resurgence in the Buffalo, New York, and Rochester, New York, you know, Lotus Notes developer market. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I know that personally a lot of my unsolicited email volume has gone up recently. People
yeah.
asking random questions about notes.
So
whatever that's worth.
It all had to do with boxing gloves, bright yellow boxing gloves.
It must have been. That was it. That's what turned them around.
I think they should have had boxing shorts. Well, not boxer shorts, but, you know, the whole outfit, you know.
Oh, you know, boxing shorts with a little iPod pocket.
Yeah,
I would
like
wear those.
That match the backpack, the Lotusphere backpack.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
What else is going on, Julian? You know, it's been kind of quiet. Ed did mention that, well, I did mention too that Lotus same time 7.5 is approaching some type of maybe public beta, right?
Was it public beta, or was it the kind of limited release business partner sort of beta thing?
I don't know,
I don't remember.
But let's push Ed to an IBM to get it out to us. You know, it's because right now to us it's vaporware, right? No, I'm joking.
No, they've got screenshots.
Terrible screenshots. No, JPEG screenshots. The I went there the other day to download what I thought was the demo. And it was just that. It was a flash demo. And in fact, one of the guys who works on the same time team pinged me via email and asked me how I was misled to believe that it was, in fact, not the actual, you know, product to play with. I was thinking, honestly, that it was the same time 7.5 client. And, you know, you were able to see, you know, use it against an existing same time server. But, it wasn't
right. Well, unless we've both been mistaken this whole time, and the same time 7.5 client is actually a flash-based client. that's possible.
It could
too.
Be. Imagine that, right? We thought it was Eclipse-based. It's flash-based. So.
And by Eclipse, we meant flash. Well, we'll have to. Hopefully, we'll see it soon.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah, so...
And speaking of Eclipse, I mean, there's been this just gigantic Java discussion going on for the last couple of weeks. It's kind of died down now, but we really kind of missed that from the podcast standpoint.
Well, because we didn't have a podcast, but you're right on. I mean, there was a lot of talk, you know, about. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, you know, we were all talking about J2EE and Java and how it. How Notes and Domino developers, you know, if they wanted to move into the workplace world, that Java was the path to take. But, you know, that kind of went by the wayside. You know, it kind of, everything calmed down a little bit. But now, you know, if you want to develop those composite Hanover applications, right, you're going to need to know some Java. So,
yeah.
Wait a second, didn't you and Tom and Joe Litton give over the last couple of years Java for the Domino developer?
Yeah. Well,
it's deeper than that too, but you know.
Well, sure it is. And we, you know, that the jump start was really kind of an overview, and I'll say what in the last year's Lotusphere, I think that was actually the only Java session at Lotusphere. I don't remember that there were any other ones, unless it was kind of mentioned in a peripheral sense. And then maybe the next year's Lotusphere, maybe there will be some more some abstracts.
I'm sure there was something for like for workplace development or something. There had to be something.
Well, you know, in that workplace is based on Java,
right?
You know, I think there was, but I don't think there was anything for specifically about Domino.
Yeah,
and maybe that was because me and Tom just covered everything there was to say.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, well, not maybe a couple of years ago, but the guy who develops Domino Administrator, Thomas Gums, was telling me, you know, learn Eclipse, learn about developing plugins, et cetera, and he was right. And, you know, personally, I've done in my spare time, not in my professional time, but, you know, a lot of reading, a lot of learning, you know, on Eclipse, on Java, on developing plugins, and, you know, I'm ready, so bring it on. What about you?
Well, I'll tell you, Eclipse is a very scary product to start working with. It really is. I mean, it's this big, giant framework product, and to really get comfortable using it, and honestly, I don't use it that much. When I do some Java development outside of Notes, which is normally just sort of my own playing around with Java, I've been using Eclipse for the last several months, and I still wouldn't say I'm comfortable with it, although, you know, again, I don't use it every day, but it's there's a lot to that. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, I guess it was Jack Dousman's original point about, you know, maybe getting some training and some interest in using and learning the tool, that really is a tool that you have to learn. It's not something that you just sort of start playing around with and you just pick it up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it. And so, you know, really learning Eclipse is almost separate from learning Java. In
right.
fact, in a lot of ways it is, because Eclipse, you know, may or may not have anything to do with Java. You can program just about anything in Eclipse.
Right.
It can be, you know, C, or it could be all these other languages that have been ported over to it. But you know, it's it's certainly a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very powerful tool once you learn it. But and in fact, one of the neat things that you can use Eclipse for is to consume web services and test the web services that you write.
Mm-hmm.
It has a fantastic web services interface that allows you just to plug a WSDL file in, and it'll go out and find all of your all of the appropriate endpoints and all the things you need to talk to, and create little testing pages for you, and you can send parameters in and get them back and see the soap that goes both ways. I mean, it's fantastic, which again ends up being based in Java, but doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Java for you as a developer. It's simply a tool for doing that. But that's just one of a million things that tool will do.
Right. And so I guess the message, right, was that, you know, hello, Notes and Domino developers. If you want to continue to develop Notes Domino type applications in Hanover, you can. If you really want to maximize and use a lot more of the functionality being offered, right, in the Hanover client, right, then you need to, you know, make some tough choices, right? And like you said, it's not just, you know, go out and learn Java. You know, it's a whole new IDE, you know, Eclipse, et cetera. It's a huge, huge undertaking. And I don't want to scare people away, but I think it's an opportunity, you know?
Oh, sure it is. So. And I think it's good to have that perspective going into it, though, because you can get scared off very easily. I mean, if you don't know that going into, oh, I'm just, let's say that you say, oh, I'm going to load up Eclipse on my workstation this weekend, I'll have it figured out by Sunday night, and then I'll
blog about it,
know everything there is to know. Exactly. And it's really not a tool that's like that. I mean, it is something that takes a while to get comfortable with, and so you have to understand that going into it, or you'll get frustrated very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Before we continue on with our discussions here, we have some talking news from Michael Sampson, and here we go. Take it away, Michael.
This is Michael Sampson with Shared Spaces Research and Consulting, bringing you talking news for the week ended Saturday, April 1. In top news of the week, Parlano announced an agreement with Nokia's IntelliSync division for licensing wireless software to enable Parlano to build a mobile version of its MindAlign collaboration offering. MindAlign offers a persistent chat-based paradigm for collaborative action. The MindAlign mobile client will support multiple devices, including Research in Motion, Windows Mobile, and Palm, offer presence, and provide encrypted and secured local data storage. It's due toward the end of second quarter of this year, and if you're looking for some more information, there is a write-up on that at the Shared Spaces website. In the summarizing daily news of the week, IBM released a 17-minute podcast on the future of work. A quote from there says, as work evolves, companies and employees will have to deal with the blurring of traditional boundaries between work and family life, between offices and remote locations, between manager and employee, and between nationalities and cultures in the global economy. It's a good podcast. Parlano announced Parlano Edge Services, a services and support engagement to help customers be successful in deploying MindAlign real-time collaboration. Options include a business track and a technical track. EMC's recently announced Insignia line of hardware and software products aimed at the small and medium-sized business market is now available. This includes the EMC eRoom SMB Edition, a collaborative workspace offering with pricing starting at $4.95 for 5 users. The Open Group Messaging Forum and the Calendaring and Scheduling Consortium are co-sponsoring a workshop to examine options for federated FreeBSY. It's being held on April 25 in Washington, D.C. And finally, Bob Balaban from IBM describes IBM Workplace Collaboration Services, outlining the functionality delivered over multiple layers. It's a good article. And rounding up the Notes and Domino blogs, aside from Duffbit, it's pretty much been one about people moving. So Duffbit has a look at the Microsoft Application Analyzer and points out that it uses the last access property of a Notes database to determine the frequency of last access to the Notes database, and that parameter is actually turned off by default. It's a bit weird. Rich Schwartz is moving to HP and will be the notes architect for a team at HP that has a product called HP StorageWorks Reference Information Manager for Messaging. As long as he can say that, we wish him all the best. Brian Benz is moving to IBM. Stefan Whistle is moving to IBM. And as a counter move, and a sad one for the community, Ed Brill has accepted a position at Microsoft as the head of Exchange, LCS, and SharePoint integration. On his website, Ed says that it's time to move on with a new exciting project, and the shift should not be interpreted as a lack of faith in Lotus Story. It's just the right timing for him. Well, that pretty much sums up talking news for this week. Hope you have a great week ahead and all the best for the projects on your plate. This has been Michael Sampson from Shared Spaces Research and Consulting.
Hey, it's Bruce here, and earlier this week I had the opportunity to sit down with Brendan Upson of Pwacma Software, and we had the opportunity to talk about several of Brendan's products. And for those of you who don't know Brendan, he has been a Notes Domino developer in the past, and he's taken a lot of the core features in Notes and Domino and has developed his own product called Tornado Server. So have a listen. Hope you enjoy. Hey, Brendan, welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. How you doing?
Good morning, Bruce. I'm doing well.
Good morning. Wow, it's a dinner time here in Vancouver, Washington, and you're located in?
We're in Sydney, Australia, and it's just turned 11:45 in the morning.
Wow, what's for lunch?
I'm going out for lunch, probably to Johnny's Cafe over the road.
Oh, nice. All right, we're with Brendan today. Brendan is the president of Pwacma, and Pwacma makes several products that you may or may not heard of, and we thought we'd talk to Brendan today to learn a little bit about what Pwacma is all about. So, Brendan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then also a little bit, you know, about, you know, the products Pwacma has to offer.
Okay, I'm chiefly a nerd. I've been coding and working since the early 90s. I've seen the rise of the dot-com boom and the associated web bits and pieces that have come out of that. I started with probably Notes as my first departmental type application framework back in version 3 in about 1995. And I worked with that for about 8 years. During that time, I got a little annoyed with how clunky it was to develop web applications. So I started toying around with my own application framework. And what it essentially started out as a research project is now a full application framework in its own right.
So what do you guys call that product?
That would be called Tornado Server. And I've lifted a number of ideas from Domino from my years working with that, and from another few products as well, and hopefully cobbled that into what I think is a fairly easy to use and flexible framework.
So in the Notes and Domino world, we have the Domino server, which is, you know, essentially I guess equal to the Tornado server. And what would be equivalent to, say, well, I know for the Notes part it's the web browser, but what about from a designer standpoint? How does one design Tornado applications?
Well, there's two ways we can do it. The first way is using a web browser. So we have a web design application that ships with the server, so you can play with all of the design elements using a web browser. That's a little bit clunky, and from our experience, decided that building a fully fledged design type client would be the way forward. So we're basing that on Eclipse, and we have a product called Vortex, which is used to design Tornado applications. So that's just hit version 1, and we're now rounding out that to add a whole pile of more flexibility and functionality.
Excellent. What about at OpenNTF, we use the WebBooster product. Can you tell us something about that product, how it came to be, and, you know, how it can benefit a Domino shop?
Sure. WebBooster sort of fell out of the Tornado development because we were looking for a way to test the clustering clustering and failover functionality within Tornado Server, and I couldn't find anything that would really do what I wanted to do to enable the testing, so I cobbled together some Java code that would do the load spraying and the like. As that took shape and the testing of the clustering finished, we had a customer come along who had iNotes at the time and was having a bit of a moan about the poor performance of iNotes. Thinking about what I'd just developed with WebBooster, we decided that we could add some dynamic gzipping, and of course you get all the failover functionality that was built into the testing bank of WebBooster, and lo and behold, WebBooster was born.
Yeah, we've used it on the OpenNTF server, and I've actually, you know, played with the failover, and you know, it works. It works great. So,
yeah, and since then we've built a few more modules on top of that, particularly single sign-on, which is pretty popular at the moment. So, people with a regular Windows workstation can just point their browser at WebBooster, and it will log them on to WebSphere or Domino using their Windows credentials.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool. So, I mean, from the design perspective, you said you borrowed or, you know, took on some of the capability. Well, you borrowed some of the capabilities that are available, say, in Designer. What kind of metaphors are you using? I mean, using views, forms, subforms, agents.
Okay. The key difference, I suppose, between Domino and Tornado Server is the database backend. And we've picked a relational database from day one, where Domino obviously uses a document-oriented storage system.
Right.
Now, that poses a few challenges security-wise. So in Domino, you can do things a lot more simply because you're only really ever dealing with one document at a time.
Right.
Whereas we have a whole relational database sitting behind that. So if you join four tables together, you know, the security requirements for viewing that data are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest key difference. What that means is that developing trivial applications is probably not quite as easy as Domino.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you start getting into complicated applications, that's where the power really kicks in.
So what are some of the applications that people have developed to date with Tornado Server?
Right. We have a customer up in Queensland who we've been working with for the last probably 3 years. And they have about four Tornado servers where they run a mining and construction company. So we've got mine management systems, HR systems, CRM. There's a whole raft, and that keeps, you know, being added to on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a company in Germany called AHB Electronic, who is licensing the Tornado Server technology off us to provide a runtime platform for a web application that they're shipping to customers, which does time recording, I believe.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been some talk in the on the blogosphere lately about Domino developers, you know, needing to, say, step out of the box when an application needs something other than LotusScript, you know, in this particular case Java. You know, what skills would someone need to have in order to start working with, you know, Tornado?
The thing that does the most of the grunt work is Java. Now I know that scares a lot of people, and probably rightly so. Sun have not done a very good job of promoting it. The open source community have piled a massive number of acronyms on top of that to
right.
add to the confusion that is already Java. Yeah. So coming to grips with that is probably the biggest hurdle,
mm-hmm.
But we've gone out of our way to simplify that a lot. As well as that, you also need to know HTML,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is fairly standard for a web developer these days, and obviously CSS and JavaScript and whatever other web technologies you decide to roll into your application.
All right, so if someone is interested, well, before I get to that, I mean, tell me a little bit about Pwakma. I mean, where did that name come from? It's quite unique.
It is. It's one of those things where a project's starting out and you're looking to give it a name. Via an email conversation with a few friends one day, a number of names were tossed around, and that one happened to stick. The good news is getting the domain name is quite easy.
I just can't imagine, you know, just me talking with some of my friends, yeah, Pwakma, you know, I mean. But I like the name. It took me a while. I used to say Pukma, you know, but then again, I'm from the U.S., so what can I say? My pronunciation is probably not as good as it should be, but
we've made an effort to move away from that. That's more of a technology brand these days.
Okay.
And we talk about the products as Tornado Server, Web Booster, and Vortex. Mm-hmm. We found that most people don't know how to pronounce the word, and even fewer people know how to spell it, which is not so good.
Pukma. I know how to spell it.
That's it.
All right. Brendan maintains a weblog as well as, I think you can link to it off Pwakma.net. Is it Pwakma.net, Brendan?
Yeah, that's right. There's a link in the bottom right-hand corner.
And if you guys are interested in learning more about the great products that Brendan has to offer, head on over to www.pwakma, which is Pukma.net. So, Brendan, I'd just like to thank you for sitting down with me today, and hopefully we'll do it again sometime soon, and maybe we'll see you in person at Lotusphere one of these days.
Well, let's hope so.
All right. Thanks again, Brendan.
Okay. See you later.
Thanks, Michael. I hope Ed didn't mind your April Fool's joke, but I don't know. Ed, congratulations on your new job at Microsoft, and you know, I don't know what you're going to do with your old blog material, but remember, Google never forgets. So, all right. So,
what's next?
You know, maybe we should start talking or get some resources on the show here, Julian, to start talking about, you know, Eclipse and and how to develop stuff. You know, well, the first one would be maybe, you know, Eclipse, what is it? You know, I mean, there's a million people out there who probably have a million Notes and Domino people have no idea. So maybe we can start educating people about this stuff. Maybe. I don't know if you agree, but I think we can start.
Well, we'll find someone.
All right, we'll find. So if you're one of our 5,328,000 users out there who wants to offer up some, wants to sit down at the in the podcast sandbox with us, just let us know. So don't all jump at once now. Maybe we should give away an iPod or something.
Well, you know what? You're doing your Lotusphere comes to you presentation this week, and maybe while you're there, you can kind of talk it up, and you can find some good candidates while you're out there.
Okay. Yeah, that's tomorrow and Thursday in Seattle. And
you're doing it in Redmond? Is that one of the places?
That's after hours, actually. I have to find my way to Redmond tomorrow after the presentation. No, I'm just
for an interview.
No, that already happened. And try to find the there's about six Google offices in Redmond as well. So I'm sure Damian Katz knows about that. So
yeah, look for the aardvark colored one.
Yeah, exactly.
Has fur on the side of it.
Yeah. So let's see. Anything else on the old show notes here, Julian?
Well, we had the whole IE ActiveX changes that are coming forward.
Ugly.
I don't know how much there is to say about that other than, boy, watch out. And with all these new people coming in to IBM and working on the product, let's hope that they've got some quick place answers for us.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I had spoken offline with Rob Novak, and he was up for doing some online chatting with us on the podcast here. So I think now may be an opportune time, as well as the Eclipse stuff, to get Rob on, hopefully before April 11th, right, is when the IE patches come down, right?
Is that what it is? I know that they were going to give some weird kind of extension, but I don't remember the dates.
I don't know.
But, I mean, that could – and for anyone that's listening that has no idea what we're talking about – there are some ActiveX changes that Microsoft has had to make to Internet Explorer because they pretty much lost a lawsuit, and has something to do with how the ActiveX controls within Internet Explorer. You now actually have to click on them to activate them before they work. They don't just work right away. Mm-hmm. And we'll post some links for you on the show notes, because there's plenty of reading you can do. But one of the big things that came out very early is Rob Novak came out and said, hey, this breaks QuickPlay pretty good, and we need to figure out how to get it fixed. But it also affects things like Flash. It affects apparently even, I think I read somewhere, PDFs opening in web pages, things like that, just all sorts of stuff that it's a little bit disruptive.
We love you, Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, I feel kind of bad for them, because that was one of those lawsuits, and what little I know about the lawsuit is one of those things where someone had a patent where it didn't really look like it looked like it was a patent for obvious technology, and Microsoft just kind of got the short end of that stick and had to make some changes because of that. So yeah. You know, insert your own software patent rant.
BlackBerry, there. NTP, RIM. Yeah. So, you know, I actually hold a patent on a lot of the technology used in the Domino server, but I just haven't approached IBM about it yet. So
you're just sitting on it, waiting for the right time.
Exactly. You know, as Domino continues to grow and grow and grow, you know, I'm just holding out. I'm a young guy. Yeah. You know, so
once they get a few more users, huh?
Just a couple.
140 million is not enough for you.
Yeah. Do you know anyone who's, speaking of BlackBerry, I mentioned, John Rowling was blogging something about the new BlackBerry Enterprise software. Oh, was it version 4.1 or something? I was just wondering if anyone out there had installed it. I think it integrates same time on the BlackBerry. So John tried it. He said it worked, but he had a couple of couple error messages, so it appeared to work, but I don't know. I just so if anyone out there wants to send us an email just about that, let us know. Drop us a note.
Because BlackBerries are here to stay, I guess.
You know, it's I don't even go into it.
$600 million later.
No, I'm just talking about my use of the BlackBerry and stuff like that. So I don't use it. I mean, I use it at work, and I have my Gmail forwarded to it, but I don't want to talk about it right now. It's someone today at work called it a weapon. So,
a weapon. Well, it depends on how you throw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So okay. Let's see what else, Julian.
I don't know. Any other little audio tidbits we need to kind of post in here? Do we have an OpenNTF news?
Yeah, we do have John Rowling's OpenNTF update. Just you know, a quick little update, and Real Workflow by Philip Carl is the April 2006 featured OpenNTF application of the month. It's a business rule and workflow engine system. It's quite a nice piece of software, and it's a very popular one as well. So just last month's the one that allows you to convert a Domino a designer outline into Ajax menus. That application went from just like 200 downloads to over 1,000 in like 3.5 weeks. So,
wow,
yeah, pretty nifty. And we had OpenNTF did have a record download month in April, March, of almost 10,000 downloads. So, to me, that's a lot. To you, may not be, but you know.
Oh, now, were you on that email thread where I just recommended an OpenNTF solution to someone the other day?
Yeah, the Chrysalis XLX, LSX, yeah.
Schedule agents, and that's something a lot of people don't know about. That's an LSX that you can use to schedule agents in other databases or in the database that you're working in.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people would like to do programmatically, and they don't know how, and there's an OpenNTF solution out there for you to do that.
Yeah, it will save you time, money, and your hair.
And your hair.
So that's it. Julian, I still want to get you, I still want to interview you about NSF tools and all the great stuff on there. I think I talked about this in a previous podcast. We have to work that in there, so I'm putting you on the spot because I'm still recording.
All right, we could do that. We could do a good 2-3 minutes on that.
Woohoo! Yeah, just this is only about, what, 2 or 3 applications. All the other things you've developed over the years just suck. So
they do.
We may get an explicit rating for the word suck. So sorry about that.
Well, that you can use your sound effects genius to plug in some mooing cows or some,
GarageBand.
Some sheep or something there.
You know, I want, just one last note here, non-Notes Domino related. Steve Jobs, if you're listening, I want commission, all right? People's iPods, people's Macintoshes, not that there are problems, but my goodness, Steve, you know, if you're listening, you know, I'm cheap, all right? Just send me something for, you know, all the stuff I'm giving you. No, I'm kidding, Steve, but, oh, my God. I guess we do the same with Notes and Domino. I got a ping on my IM the other day that said, is that all you blog about is IBM and Lotus? Where's the drumming and the food and the this and that? I'm like, you know, I just sat there and stared at it saying, my God, this guy is right. So, but then again, here we are doing a podcast about everything Notes and Domino. So.
Well, he wasn't talking about the podcast. He was talking about your blog. Two very separate things.
Yeah, so whatever. All right, Julian, till next
Bruce.
Time. Julian!
Bruce!
All right. We're probably going to pin the meters here. I'm not watching, but...
All right. We're all done here.
We're all done here, and we'll talk to you guys next time. John Rowling, take it away, and thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Hello, and welcome once again to this week's OpenNTF Update. I am Greyhawk68, your humble host. This week, version 0.4 of Document Viewer was released by Timo Emrich. Document Viewer allows you to view all fields of a document selected from a view with one button click. My favorite blogging template, Blogsphere, reached version 2.5.2 this past week. It was released by Declan Lynch, Rocky Oliver, Tom Duff, Joe Litton, Christian Brandliner, Chad Sheffalt, and Kevin Pettit. Tim Tripkeny released Design Catalog version 1.1.1. It is a version control and design element distribution tool. Real Workflow, a workflow engine and business rules engine, was released this week by Philip A. Carl. And last but not least, the ASND export utility was released by Sean Burgess at version 0.9, and this is a central export facility for all of your Notes and Domino applications. That's been your OpenNTF update. I'm Greyhawk68. Until next time, take care.